Welcome to the Small Nonprofit Podcast with down-to-earth practical advice on how to get things done in your small organization. You are going to change the world and we can help. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anya McGlynn.
Hello, everybody.
Let's start by saying Happy New Year. This is the first episode of 2020. Woohoo!
It is, yes. Happy New Year to everybody. Although we're recording this back in the past, so don't tell us how it starts.
Yeah, I feel like Back to the Future, but
yeah,
Back to the Future. So Back to the Future. We're here with you in 2019, but you will be listening to this in 2020. It's a new year. It's a new decade. Pretty exciting. Oh my goodness! Like it's a big deal.
So, yeah, where were you in 2010?
I remember where I was in 2000, but not so much 2010. Actually, I can't remember. Do you remember yours?
Yeah, it was a big year for me. It was the year I finished my doctorate, so it was a banner year.
Yeah, that's exciting. Hmm. I'll always remember Y2K because, you know, that was such a...
But that was 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago, I know, which is crazy. But ancient everyone history. Thought like the world was going to end and technology would implode on us. And
oh,
boy,
I know
how far we've come since then.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, well. So happy new year, happy new decade. This conversation today with our guest, Beth Jordan, from Adobe Consulting, I think is really the perfect way to kick off a new year. And it's all about alignment and how we look forward and internally within our organizations to focus on being aligned with sort of a center or core as, you know, our values. What are our shared values and how do we align with that? And I think that's such, you know, it's not about hustle. It's not about all the big, like, you know, sometimes when we think of strategy, you know, it can be fairly aggressive. And I think really this is around how do we align and how do we make sure that all the things we're doing in our organization really reinforce what our values are as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And obviously that first step in ensuring that your activities lead back to your values is to define your values well. And to be able to consider how you can measure your actions against those stated values.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not enough to just identify them and then kind of walk away and like periodically like gesture towards the values that you have maybe written on your wall. It has to be something that's baked into every decision you make, whether that has to do with staffing or program development or how you engage constituents as part of your program delivery, that values piece has to sit at the center always.
Yeah. And we at The Good Partnership just went through a process not dissimilar to this that you, Anya, very much led, which is we just were certified as a B Corp. Which really forced us to make sure that we were practicing and measuring our values every day. And that
That's
was
right.
huge for us. So thank you for leading that.
Oh, no worries. It was an interesting exercise in codifying the everyday practices that that constitute sort of day-to-day business at an organization and do so in relationship to some very lofty social metrics. And I think it's useful for any organization to put down on paper the things that you say that you do or are or represent. And then to have, the B Corp example is great because it is a community of practice that holds organizations to account by regularly auditing. And obviously the charitable sector has different kinds of audits, which hold you to a different kind of account. But I guess like, you know, in conjunction with the financial audit that you go through, like what are some things that you can do to audit your values in a similar kind of way and maybe assign an annual checkpoint to audit your year in review against those values that you've stated.
Yeah, I really love this approach. You know, we've had lots of conversations around strategy and planning on the podcast before, but I feel like this is a really fresh take. And, you know, as a value-centered company working with a lot of value-centered charities and nonprofits, I think this is just a really, again, it's about alignment. And I feel like this approach really sits well with how we think about our work. And I know a lot of our clients think about their work. So I think it's a really great tool to help you assess not just the strategy, but how's your staff aligned? How's your structure aligned? How are your systems aligned? We've talked about, you know, systems and structure and all these things separately, but they really need to feed back to and be measured against your shared values.
That's it. And I think that this, like, there's, it's an interesting approach, and there's also risk associated with it. Like, I don't think that you are doing the real work of checking your practices against your values if you don't end up coming up against some hard conversations and some hard truths. So I think if you do the exercise and you're like, oh yeah, no, everything's cool. I think you're probably missing a piece.
Yeah. For sure. And I think you have experienced this as well, but what I've experienced even in the, and we've talked about this quite openly on the podcast before, even in the organizations that are the most progressive or doing the most significant social justice work, there are still problems. There are still pieces that are out of alignment. And this process helps you identify those and double down on, I want to say, repairing them. Like, it's almost like a repair. So, yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm so excited to welcome Beth to the podcast. Beth Jordan is the founder and principal of Adobe Consulting Services. With over 20 years of leadership experience, she is a sought-after management consultant, facilitator, and speaker who is recognized for her ability to effectively lead organizations and large groups to an understanding and achievement of their common goals. She's a strategic thinker and skilled organizational developer who has collaborated and consulted with local, provincial, national, and international non-governmental organizations on a range of organizational development issues. She's successfully secured over $13 million in major capital and service expansion funds for her clients. She's the recipient of the 2005 Women of Distinction Award for Social Justice and the 2006 Premier's Award. She is a member in good standing of the Association for Strategic Planning. Please join me in welcoming Beth to the podcast. Beth, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so delighted to have you on. I feel like this has been a conversation a long time coming. we've certainly known each other for a long time and have been trying to make this work. So I'm really excited to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your patience. I love the podcast. So I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have.
Yeah. And I know that this is going to be really useful for our listeners. And when we first started talking, you use the term out of hustle and into alignment. And I feel like that's a really good place for us to start the conversation around organizational effectiveness, because, you know, we've talked a lot about strategy on the podcast, but strategy is one element of this alignment. And so can you take us like that step higher and describe what alignment means?
Well, you know, it's really about having that opportunity to breathe, right? To step back and ideally proactively look at that skeletal system of an organization, right? You know, if you think about the skeletal system in a body, it just performs so many critical functions. It facilitates our movement, protects our organs, it produces blood cells even, and essentially is that support for the body. And so it's really important for organizations to be able to look at, you know, their systems, their structures, which really are that skeletal system. And so we try to find ways for organizations to do that, where they get to look at not only the soft elements of what they do, but the hard elements as well. So we look at what we call the seven S's, and that shared values, strategy, structure, systems, staff and skills, and style. And when you center the values, you have an opportunity to really think about, are we living those values in all of those other interrelated elements? And it's amazing what happens when organizations have the time to sit back and answer key questions in all of those areas. Because then, you know, what we often see is there's a lot of hustle in one area because something is out of alignment, right? Mm. If something's happening within the culture of an organization, so the values are not being experienced, right? That will set something else out of alignment. If the structures may be not right-sized, that will set something else out of alignment. And when you're out of alignment, you hustle, right? Mm. So, you know, the organizations that we have the privilege to work with are doing such important work, right? They are breaking ground, holding ground, providing essential services. And so that in itself can feel like a hustle. So, you know, we want to support organizations to be in alignment so that, yes, there will be some hustle. That's the nature of the work that, you know, our not-for-profit organizations do generally, but you can be aligned. And when you're aligned, oh my goodness, imagine the things that they can do.
When we spoke last time, you talked, the way I'm picturing this, the seven S's is almost like a flower with the center as the shared values and the rest are petals that sort of connect and create that fullness. Is that, am I picturing this right?
Sure. You can look at it as a flower. We draw it as circles and the circles are all connected. I like the idea of a flower, right? Because you're going through all of the petals and, you know, a flower is really beautiful with all its petals. You
know? I couldn't think of a nicer way to describe the circles all around one main circle. So imagine a flower.
Yeah, you know.
So, but at the heart of it is this idea of shared values is at center, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Let's talk about that because I think that's different or a little different than what we've talked about when we've talked about this kind of alignment in the past on the podcast. So how does that inform the core of the process?
Well, I think it's important because we ask organizations, so what are your values? And they can rhyme them off, you know, integrity, anti-racism, anti-oppression, any number of things, but really it's getting to the idea that your values are about your purpose, right? And that those, that they need to be alive and present in principles, right? So it's not just saying we have an anti-racism and anti-oppression framework. That's a core value for us. What does that then mean within our structure and our systems? What does it look like in our communications internally and externally? What does that then translate to in terms of our human resource practices? What does it look like in our performance management and how we support people to be better and do better? What does it look like in a time and monetary commitment to training and development? And then also thinking about it from in terms of technology as well. So, you know, it's just, it's taking words on a page and having them come alive because you know, if your values aren't being evidenced, both by the people who are doing the work, but, you know, most importantly by the people who are using services, who you're standing shoulder to shoulder with, you know, things are going to start to fall down. So if you don't evidence your values in your programs and services in concrete and measurable ways, you're going to notice and feel that. That's true in terms of your engagement with your donors and with your funders. It's also true in terms of your partners and your allied organizations in the community itself. So it's taking the values and understanding that they're infused throughout the organization, right?
Absolutely.
And sometimes what we see is not everyone has a shared understanding of the values. Right. So what integrity or, you know, I don't know, any value you want to throw out means to me might be different than what it means to you. And so an organization's job is to ensure that everybody understands the organization's expectation of these values, right? And that they're Excellent. Not just words on a page, they will live.
So I want to come back into those different S's, but before I do, I want to talk how this overlays or maybe intersects with our mission and programs, because none of these are directly, you know, there's no program with an S or anything like that. And certainly, you know, I think organizations are so used to centering around mission. So how is that different with the shared values, and how does this work with our understanding of the change we want to make in the world and what our purpose is?
Well, I mean, I think sometimes I like to think about, you know, that's a theory of change, right? So why, you know, how do the values help us, right? I see the values as a vehicle to get to that change we are trying to make, right? Mm-hmm. So the values of an organization will change over time. The mission ultimately is generally the same, right? It's that mm-hmm. standard. This is what we are mandated and set up to do. But our idea of the change that we're seeking will shift and expand over time. And the values are the same, right? So you want to make sure that if in an overarching way you are trying to interrupt violence against women, right, mm-hmm. in a specific community, the values that are motivating you should support you to be able to do that and to do it well, right? And to do it in a good way. And so, because values, again, they translate into principles. Principles translate into behaviors which are measurable. That's important. Values are not just foundational statements, right? They are opportunities for us to really create the change that we're seeking. So your mission is what you're set up to do. The values are the way you do it.
Yeah. Excellent. So now it sounds like the first thing is to get a clear picture of what those values are and a general understanding that everyone has of those values. Once we do that, once we're on the same page and we say, okay, we understand this is our mission and these are the values, how we approach fulfilling that mission, how do we then work through the rest of those S's to bring ourselves into alignment? And do we prioritize or start with anything first? Or is it just where we're feeling like we're hustling most? How do we start to move this forward as a process?
Well, we don't want to ignore any of the petals, right? So mm-hmm. if you use your, yeah.
My flower analogy.
Yeah, your flower. And so, you know, we then, you know, you look at strategy, because strategy is attached to your mission. It's attached to your theory of change. It's attached to a strategic plan. It's what you, you know, what you've set out to do, how you're going to maintain the organization. So we start to ask questions about that. How do you plan to get there, right? How do you intend to achieve those objectives that you've set out? What are the pressures internally and externally? What's changing in the environment? And so we start to ask those questions, which allow us to understand, and more importantly, allow organizations to reflect on the current strategy that's in place. And in some cases, again, because you're hustling, strategic plans tend to go stale. They haven't, no, they're that pretty
That's understatement
document.
Of the century.
Okay, well, you know, they're that pretty document that's sitting over there that no one can quite remember, right? Mm-hmm. And so we check in around that. So what are the systems, moving into systems, right, that allow you to maintain, refresh your strategy, right? We talk about structure and we look at, so how do you have teams? You know, how are those teams divided? How is there a hierarchy? How do folks understand who's coordinating what? And, without fail, we think that our structure is clear, right, inside of an organization, and often it's not. and sometimes there are substructures, right, within that structure, the unspoken structures. And so we start to kind of take a look at that. How does decision-making happen? Are there opportunities to flatten and include and engage, right? Mm-hmm. And really importantly, what are those lines of communication the transparency and accountability around that stuff? And then, you know, all of the systems that, of course, support everything that you're doing. What systems do you have? The main systems, the core systems that run the organization, where controls are needed, are they in place? So it's policies, it's procedures, it's how you do things, usually in a step, hopefully in a stepwise way, but not always, you know? And so then we get into some of the softer pieces around style, right? So how is the organization led? How effective, you know, is that? You know, managing from the center, all of those things that allow us to kind of think through, you know, what that looks like. And then, of course, you know, skills and staff. Are staff supported to develop the skills they need to do their very best job and to be supported in the hard work that they do? Right.
Chances are they're not effectively.
Well, and this is the thing, like we ask so much of our frontline staff and management staff, executive directors. Yeah. We do a lot of work with boards and we're always talking to boards about without healthy, supported, respected staff, you can forget it. Right. Yeah. They're the heartbeat of your organization. So, you know, we look at do you have the right roles in place? Not people, roles, right? What are the positions? What are your training methods? How do you mentor and support staff, employees, volunteers, peers? You know, because our models are shifting in how we're doing the work, right? So there's a lot to be thinking about. So those are just generally how we kind of go about looking at those S's. And as we ask a set of preliminary questions, you know, other things start to surface. So back to what you originally asked, then you know where to take that deep dive, right? Because it becomes very evident very quickly. What's out of alignment?
Stop the podcast. I just wanted to take a second to remind our listeners who may not know that this podcast is brought to you by The Good Partnership and Charity Village.
So a lot of people don't know that both of our organizations are deeply committed to making sure that there are tons of great resources available to small nonprofits in our sector. And so I want you to take a minute to go and access some of those great free resources. For The Good Partnership, you can visit thegoodpartnership.com. And for charityvillage.com, there's so many webinars and, of course, the podcast, articles. The list is endless. And, of course, you can post jobs there, volunteer positions. Posting is free. So make sure that you are checking out both websites to deepen your learning and continue to access great free stuff.
Great tips, Cindy. Now on the podcast.
So I want to talk about measurable behaviors, but first I want to talk a little bit about how do we approach this with some hope and optimism and understanding that things can change. Because I think in my experience in our sector, there are some chronic challenges around being underfunded, underappreciated, under-resourced. And sometimes it can feel like this is just the way it's supposed to be. So how do we get over that sort of hump of like inertia to say, okay, actually just that we're out of alignment and we have to figure this out. Like I guess my question is like, what level of hustle is quote unquote normal or acceptable? And then when do we start to ring the alarms and be like, this is just not sustainable and we need to do something about it?
Right. It's going to be different for every organization. It's so contextual. It's a positional, right? But, you know, you said a couple of things in there. I think, you know, even out of alignment, the organizations that we work with do so much every day. And so I think it's really, really important to start by celebrating success. Mm-hmm. Because even when things are completely chaotic, you know, you are still out there saving lives, changing lives, doing incredible advocacy work, systems navigation, all of that good stuff. So celebrate the success. You know, build on the things that you do well. Acknowledge them. Stop and say thank you to each other, right?
Yes.
Just those simple ways that we find moments of gratitude and just stillness, right? So there's that. Every organization that works in, you know, the not-for-profit sector, whether you're raising money or you're delivering services, you are going to be hustling, right? So there's going to be, and you know, when we think about some of our clients that deliver emergency services, 24-hour services, it is the nature of the work.
Yeah.
However, there's a difference when you go to do something and the policy is not there to guide you, or you go to do something and there aren't enough people on the floor, right? Or you're trying to lead or support massive change in an organization and you don't have the director team that you need to do that. So, you know, it's understanding where having better alignment can help you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That support is planned. It's proactive, right? Wherever possible, you know, that you have an opportunity to really examine some of the likely impacts of future changes and get in front of things, right? I think even though things are hard, right? you know, we hear from our colleagues how, you know, how hard and tired and all of that stuff, but we also hear how amazing the work is, and it continues to be, right? So case in point, last night I was with North York Women's Shelter. They were hosting the Toronto Community Foundation, the Trust Collective, and in their beautiful new shelter that is built, right? And so in all of, and they were an organization review client. So, you know, with stuff they had to look at, right? So you can move forward into, you know, some really, really good things. The work is getting done, and we should all be really proud of that. But just asking folks to think about, you know, when you have a cough, you know, if that cough persists, you're going to go and see the doctor, right?
Yeah.
You're going to take some herbal medicine. You're going to do whatever it is you need to do. So, like, I want organizations to think about proactive self-assessment and review as an opportunity to get a checkup or maybe a physical, right? Because if we don't do those things, you end up in a situation that you didn't necessarily, you know, have to be in. So I would say if when someone takes your stapler, it's, you know, you end up sticking to the roof around it, that's a good idea that things are getting a little hairy. Right? When you know, my stapler. Okay. So, you know, and I'm being silly about it, but, you know, we know when we're out of alignment. We really do. But we keep doing the work.
Yeah. And while that's a silly example, I actually feel like it's quite appropriate because it's when we're out of alignment that those little things feel so heavy.
Yeah.
Right? That we do sweat the small things. And that's really a time when we start to get deep burnout too, because we just, everything. I had someone describe it as like trying to drive while you have the handbrake on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the parking brake. I don't know what it's called.
I knew that, right?
Yeah. And like every time you're hitting the accelerator, it's like it's not doing what you want it to do. It's not, you don't have that power. And like, once we can release that, our speed of acceleration and the ease of acceleration is incredible. But every little tap on the gas, when you have that brake on, is just like, it's so much harder. And I really think that that example is a really good analogy of or that stapler example is really true. Like sometimes we get to a point where we just feel like we can't deal with even the littlest things. So,
And it's not, you know, we tend to think about, you know, frontline staff and doing the work. I'm talking about the leadership teams. I'm talking about the boards, right? Like the stuff that Every level of structure within an organization needs attention and a hug sometimes, right?
That is, we do need hugs. I think that
appropriately, of course.
Appropriately, yes. But I think that
people without consent, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, don't go around hugging everyone. But actually, like, it's that idea that we're caring for each other and we recognize and we see the work that we're all doing. Like you said, around celebrating our success. I think that we all need that. Mm-hmm. We all need to feel appreciated in our work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Appreciated, heard, right? Communicated with. In ways that we can receive that information, you know, it's we say to organizations that we're working with, think about the word ACT, the acronym. Mm-hmm. Accountable communication that's transparent. It goes mm-hmm. a long way, right? And that's true of boards. It's true of executive directors and CEOs, management teams. And frontline workers, the communication with, participants in organizations.
Now, I want to come back to this idea of measurable behaviors, because I think that I wanted to dive into some of all the other stuff before we came back to that. But now that we've been through the flower of the seven S's, let's talk about how we can measure our success and our progress against that. I think that's often missing from a lot of these processes. And where do we start to measure? And are we measuring all seven of them? Like, how does it look as we start to check in with ourselves?
Well, it really depends on, so organizations will have metrics in place around their strategic plan. So they might have key performance indicators. They might have, so there are already things in place where we can help them to see if they're actually meeting targets that they set or performance indicators that they've set. When we look at the values though, it's less often that people have done that conversion, right? So if we're talking about anti-racism and anti-oppression, and we want to measure how we're doing in terms of human resource management. Well, to do that, you have to back up. You have to say, so for us, the way that this value lives is in the following ways in our human resource work, right? So for mm-hmm. example, if we are looking to hire, we commit that we're going to place ads across ethnocultural, racial media to, inspire a range of people to apply for a position, as an example. So it's stepping back and really thinking about, so if we live these values, what would they look like in our style, leadership style, across our staff teams in terms of staff composition and representation? What kinds of skills, right? How do we mm-hmm. build that in? And is it evidenced in our strategy? And it looks like A, B, C, and D. So it's getting concrete, and it's hard to say you do this, this, and this. It's different for every organization. Mm-hmm. But it is about the process of understanding, again, not the words on a page, right? So mm-hmm. identifying in each of these areas, what did we think was going to happen? How did we think these values were going to impact our strategy, or how the way that we feel like our values live in the structure? And is that how other people experience it? Right. Mm. So it is about taking that step back and documenting, right? And then having, again, that shared understanding, outlining the expectations, and then checking in. So in engagement surveys with staff, how are they experiencing, the organization is one measure of that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Doing assessment is another way to measure that. And again, not trying to add more work, but, putting systems in place that allow you to do that. So you see the interrelation, right? They're all talking to each other. And so finding, knowing that you need to measure this, I think is even a starting point, right? Mm-hmm. So, you lead with your values, but what does that actually mean? So you should be able to tell me. I can't tell you until you talk to me about what it is you hope to do with these values, right? Because again, values are the way we live our mission.
Well, I feel like that brings the conversation around nicely back to centering around our values and how that's the sort of hub of all of these, all of our systems, our skeletal system. I really want to thank you, Beth, for being on the podcast. Where can our listeners learn more about you and the work that you're doing?
You could visit us online at adobeconsulting.ca. We're really excited. We've just launched a new communication division. We've had Marcia Clark, the owner, just because come on board as a partner. And so we're excited about what her team brings now in terms of harnessing the power of strategic communications, right? Mm-hmm. To achieve some really concrete, specific goals. So visit us online. We're changing, we're growing. And we look forward to talking to you.
Excellent. Thanks again. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. Have a great day. Thank you so much for tuning in today. As you know, this podcast is brought to you by Charity Village and The Good Partnership and is produced by Eloisa Jane Mariano. Have a great day.